Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
As I said, we're going to jump right into the Word. We're going to take a look in Hebrews. In Hebrews, we're going to look at chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says this. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do." I won't even look up. "But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Turn with me, stick something in there in Hebrews. We'll come back to that a little bit later, but I want to read a Bible story today. I don't get to do this too much, but I'm going to read one today. Not much of a Bible story, but it's a parable of Jesus. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look in verse 1. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Jesus here is talking to his disciples, and they're basically asking him, "Lord, man, what's the end going to look like? What's it going to be like?" And so he begins to lay out several stories to give them a picture, to paint a picture of what it's going to look like. And this is one of those stories. Matthew 25, verse 1, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to bring extra, to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you.'" And so Jesus tells his disciples here in verse 13, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." Bow your heads. Let's take a moment here to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you speak so clearly in stories and words to us. And Lord, I pray in this moment that you would speak through me a word of encouragement, a word that will challenge us and push us further into our relationship with you. God, I pray that you would open our eyes that we might see, open our ears that we can hear, open our hearts that we can receive what you're saying to us today in this moment, God. And Lord, I pray that we would leave this place changed, that we would leave this place different than how we came in, that we would leave this place humbled by your presence and desiring to be in your presence even the more. God, we give you the glory for who you are. We thank you for this day that you've made. We give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Awesome. Right, so there was an item, right, when I was a kid that I really, really wanted one year for Christmas. And I don't know what it was, what it is about it, but I just felt like it made you super manly if you had this one particular thing. Like, you were a man anyway, okay, fine. But, like, if you had this one particular thing, like, you just came off just extra double manly testosterone-ish to me, okay? Like, you, if you had this, man, like, you're just the dude, right? And so I had a desire for this one Christmas, and I wanted it so bad, and I asked my mom, and she was like, "No, I don't know if you're ready for that." And I was like, "Come on, like, I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to be tough, I'm trying to be manly, like, I need this." And she was like, "Oh," I was probably like 8 or 9, right, probably really young, and I was like, "Man, I'm trying to be a man over here at 8 or 9, right, I'm trying to be a man, I'm trying to figure it out," and she was like, "Oh, I don't know," but then Thank God for grandmothers, right? My grandmother was like, oh, I'll get you that, baby. And she got me one. And you know what it was? It was a Swiss Army knife, right? In my mind, I'm like, yo, if you got a Swiss Army knife, oh, man, like, you can do so many things, like 4 or 5 or 6 different things that you can do, right? And they're all at your fingertips, right? And I wanted one so bad. I wanted, like, I had to have it. And so one year, my grandmother, and it was cost her probably $1, but I just felt like, man, if you have one of these, it's incredible. Like, man, there's so many things you can do, right? And you look at it, man, you've got your knife, right? It's at your fingertips. You got your bottle opener. You got your little corkscrew there if you ever just randomly, as an 8-year-old, run into a wine bottle, right? Just pop it open, right? And then you have your other knife. I mean, who knows what that's for? And then you have, like, your second bottle opener. I don't even know what that thing does, right? But they all have some use. Right, that's what I wanted. I was just like, man, I gotta have this because other kids at school had them. They're kind of like, right, they had the keychain. Come on, right, you can connect to your belt. You kind of walk around, you can pull it out, show that you were cool. Man, I know I'm dating myself. It's okay though, but like, I wanted one, right? And so when I got one, I was excited. I was like, yes, like, I'm a man now. I kind of changed my strut. I was like, had to show it off, like, yeah, like, you have to kind of show it off. Anyway, right, give us a message before I get carried away. My wife yells at me later, right? So I had to have the Swiss Army knife. I was like, yes, I need this thing. And here's the reason why people normally buy it outside of just their 8-year-old fantasies of what manliness is, right? Right, people really buy this thing is because, man, they really want to be prepared for any situation, right? No matter what comes up, I've got something that's ready and available that I can pop out and I can do some amazing stuff with, and they got some Swiss Army knives, they got like 13 or 14 different things that you can do with it. I was like, just give me the basic one. I don't need all that stuff. I just want to open a wine bottle randomly when I can at 8, right? But I was like, man, the overall reason that people purchase them is because, man, they want to be prepared. They want to be prepared. They want to have stuff available at their fingertips. Today, obviously, we're going to be talking about preparation. And if I give you a definition, it's this. It's being ready before the need to be ready comes. Preparation. It's being ready before the need to be ready actually comes. And I can tell you, I'm somebody that I'm a recovering procrastinator. Anybody else? Not just me, okay? I'm a recovering procrastinator. And so I'm still trying to master this in my life. And so I can speak to you about it today because it's coming from personal experience. But man, it's like that definition of preparation, man, being ready before the need to be ready actually comes is one that I'm working on. And it was funny, last week we read this passage in Ephesians 4:11. It says, now there are gifts. There are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. When I read this week and I was thinking about that Swiss Army knife, I was like, man, kind of God, that's kind of what you did for the church. You took all these different positions and you said, man, you know what? I want the church, the body of Christ, to be prepared. So I'm going to throw a pastor on my Swiss Army knife for the church so that at a time when it's needed, man, there's going to be a pastor there. Maybe there's going to be an evangelist. And maybe there's going to be an apostle and a teacher. Man, he put them all there. Why? So that we could all be prepared, that we could all be equipped, that we could all be ready. At a moment's notice, that, man, that we would be ready before being the need to be ready actually comes. That there, as we're walking out in life and as, man, we're growing together, that, man, that those pastors and those teachers and those apostles, man, that they would help equip us for a time that's coming that's not yet here, but that we won't be last minute or procrastinating on it. Why? Because we're already prepared for it. He's already equipped us for it. He's already put us in a position, that he put us in a crew. And we said last week that a crew is this. It's a community that's ready and equipped to work. If we're going to put it into words, if I was going to get preacher corny and give you this acrostic, it's a community that's ready and equipped to work. It's why he gave us these different positions. And the reason why we need this is because community is life. We need to be in a community. We were talking about this morning, that there are so many people in this world that don't have anyone. They have nobody. They're going through life flying solo, flying by the seat of their pants. Man, and it's just like everything's moving so fast, but they're not really going anywhere, or they're in positions in their life where it's so tough and they're facing so many challenges and they have nobody to call. There's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to connect with. There's nobody that they feel like has concern for them or what they're going through. And so they try to figure stuff out on their own. And they start getting messed up and start getting into different things that are not really like what God has designed for them. I really believe that God has designed for us that we would be in community, that we would be connected, that we would be one, that we would be unified, as his word says. And that's why he gave us this Swiss army knife of different positions of people. Why? Because he wants us to be together, to be unified, to be equipped, that we would be ready to work, that we'd be ready to do what he's called us to do. He wants us to be a crew, because it's in those moments when stuff is crazy and stuff is daunting and it's challenging that we need community the most, right? We saw it this week. Right? Santa Fe, Texas. Man, these kids get killed at school. Why? And you know, that's a moment I'm thinking, Lord, man, I hope that we can find some type of solution. I don't care what it is, but Lord, help us to find the solution. But even outside of that, what you saw immediately was people come together as a community. Now, you have some people that just kind of served, kind of, right, just voice an opinion on it or just voice their thing. And then obviously the same themes, I don't have to discuss them because we'll have an old discussion here. The same themes come up every time this happens in our country, right? You got people that believe this one way. You got people believe that one way. But really at the middle of it, there's people and families that are in need today. They're suffering. And my hope is that as a country, as their city, as their family, that we rally around them to tell them, you know what, God yet loves you, that you're going to make it through this situation, that he still cares about you, that there is still a plan for your life, even though you may have lost a child or a loved one. That's my hope, is that, man, that we would come together as community, even in our own city this week. A little girl, teenager, on her way to graduation practice, hits a pothole, car flips over, and she dies. And immediately my heart went out to that family. That man, this girl, the day before her graduation, passes away. Just gone from this life. And my hope is that as a city, as a community, that we would, man, just embrace them, even if it's in prayer, even if you don't know them, that we would just reach out and connect with them. That we would, man, just wrap our arms around them because, man, it's just so needed. It's in those moments when all seems lost that we need community the most. It's in those moments that are just so challenging and so desperate and so tough that we need to come together. Man, the stuff that we've been fighting and fussing over just has to get put down to the side. Hey, we can, look, save that for later. Man, let me love on you. Let me tell you about the goodness of God in your life. Let me just embrace you where you are. That's what community is about. I want us as a church to be that kind of place when people walk through our doors and they're coming in and they have a monkey literally on their back from issues that they're dealing with in life, that when they walk through our doors, that through worship and even through the word, that just the peace of God would surround them and that we physically would just reach out and touch them and let them know that God cares about you. Because there's so many people that are dealing with stuff and they're facing it alone, and they don't know where to turn to. And the church is supposed to be that place where they're supposed to go. But as we said last week, there's so many times where they feel condemned when they come through our doors. And I don't want people to walk in here and feel condemned, no matter what they're going through. You know why? Because I know a risen Savior who can change lives. That no matter what situation that you're in, that, man, he can come through and he can maneuver some things around and make seem what seemed like a desperate and lost situation turn around to something that can be for your good. But that only happens if we begin to work as a crew. If we begin to be his hands and feet and allow our lives to take on a position. And maybe I'm not the pastor, but maybe I can teach some kids. And maybe I'm not an apostle, but you know what? I can play a little half a guitar, and I'll give you what I got. We'll take you, by the way. Right? And, man, whatever skills, what I have to use, it may not seem much in the world, but I promise you, in this kingdom, in this house, we can find a place for it. We can use it to for God's glory. We can use it to connect with people and to really fulfill our purpose. What is our purpose? It's to be the crew, but also to continue to build the crew. We said that last week. What's our purpose? Why am I asking you to use your gifts and talents? It's so that, man, that more people can come in, that we would start putting more seats down, right? That more people can come in and they can hear a message that can change their life. They can get into a worship experience where they feel the tangible presence of God. And it begins, man, to just those things that they're carrying in just begin to fall off of them right in the middle of worship. That's why I'm saying for us as a church, man, I need you to be the crew, to come in and be a part of this community, to connect with people, to let them know that they have a family here. We want to fulfill that purpose, that we can equip God's people to do his work and to build up this church, to build up the body of Christ. How do we do that? A good crew, we said, man, they have a purpose, and that's our purpose. But how do we do that? We have to prepare. We have to prepare. There has to be some preparation. Why is that preparation so important? If you think about a ship, I love this show. You watch a lot, The Deadliest Catch. Anybody ever seen, right, Deadliest Catch? I love that show, right? And why? Because I know nothing about fishing. It's like the most opposite of me. I love to eat fish, but I don't care how it gets in my plate, but I love to see, okay, that's how you do that. Awesome, crab legs. Thank you, guys. Awesome, right? But I love the show. Why? Because it shows you stuff that you don't know that how to do. You don't know how to do it. Right, we always think, and people watch it, I know because I did, like, oh, man, I could do that. I could go out there and be out there on the Bering Sea in 20-degree weather and water splashing at me. Oh, I'd be crying the first day. Oh, my God, am I going to get me off this boat? Right? But what it shows you, what the part I like is at the beginning, they show how they prepare to go out to catch stuff. They tie down stuff on the boats, right? They're bringing in all this food so that you can eat while you're actually out there on the boat so you don't starve to death, right? They do all this stuff. They clean the boat. They swab the deck. They do all this. I don't know. Swab the deck. Is that still a term? Right? Anyway, right? They do all this stuff to get the boat ready to go. There's preparation. There's preparation that occurs. And the same thing happens in the spiritual. We read throughout the Word that so many times before God makes any major moves, there's always a moment, a period of preparation that occurs. Let me give you some examples. In the creation, before he brings Adam down to the earth, what does he do? Turn on some lights, put a little land over there, right? Some trees here, some fruit, and a couple animals to hang out with, right? Before he comes, what do? He prepares the way for Adam to have a place to live, right? What else he do? Noah builds an ark. He builds an ark. Before the rain comes, Noah say, hey, let's take some wood, go for wood, put this stuff together, slap some molasses or whatever they had on it, right? And let's build a boat. Why? Because the rain's gonna come and y'all gonna wash away. Like, I got room on the boat. You might have to sit next to a tiger, but I got some room on here, right? Come get on the boat. What else we see? Right? We see the Passover, right? The Jews sprinkle blood over doorposts, right? And they're doing that in preparation so that, man, when the angel of death comes and passes through the city and they're trying to get out of Egypt, man, there is preparation before that time. We also see it, right? John the Baptist, before Jesus ever comes to the earth, John the Baptist is out and he's preaching and he's teaching and he's evangelizing the people, telling them, repent and be baptized, right? There's preparation that occurs. We see it. Jesus does it with his disciples, even at the Last Supper, before Jesus goes to the cross to die for our sins. What does he do? He begins to prepare his disciples for the time that he's away. He's saying, I want you to be ready before the time comes that you actually need to be ready. I want you to be ready before the time comes to actually be ready. Well, how do we do that? How do we prepare? We're talking about to prepare. We're saying this is what helps to make a good crew. How do we do that on our own? Let me show you. We read Ephesians 4:11, right? But if you go back and you look through it, there's certain things that you see there. Let me read. He's saying, now these are the gifts God gave to the church. Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, so that shows us what we need to do. So the first thing we need to do, we need to be unified in our faith. There needs to be some unity in our faith. We should be uniting as one. We should be encouraging one another through our faith, saying, hey, I see what you're going through. Man, I want you to know that I'm here for you, that I'm connecting with you. Man, I'm going to come beside you, and let's lock arms and let's believe for this thing together. Right, you're believing for that house, awesome, man. We can go walk around the house together that you like. Let's go on a trip and go see what house you like. Man, let's begin to pray. Whatever may be, what we're doing, we're uniting in our faith. Second thing, here's what you do. Man, we unite in our knowledge of Jesus. We unite in our knowledge of Jesus. We should be pushing one another to learn more about him, but also to live like him. We're uniting in our knowledge of Jesus. We also mature in the Lord. We get mature. What are we doing? We begin to act responsibly based on the knowledge that we have. And we push one another to do that. Hey, man, remember we were reading that word last week that said you shouldn't do this, or that said you should be believing this way? Man, let's get together and act differently than how we used to before. Man, maybe we put some stuff down that we used to do before so that we can be better. Right, we begin to take on more responsibility. We begin to take on maturity. And then what we do is we measure ourselves to the standard of Christ. Right, no longer am I looking to the world as my standard, but we begin to say, okay, as a group, do we look like what we see represented in the Word? Are we measuring ourselves to the standard of Christ? It's preparation. It's how we prepare. It's preparation. And that's what we see in this parable, right? We read earlier about Jesus and the bridesmaids here, and he's telling us to his disciples, he's telling his disciples, encouraging them, hey, you need to start preparing. Because, hey, there's going to be a time where I'm no longer going to be here on earth, but there's also going to be a time where I'm going to come back. That's what he's trying to explain to them. I'm going to come back, and you need to be ready when I return. I don't want you to be lost and locked and outside and saying, hey, Lord, can I come in? And he's looking through the peephole, which is what I do at my house. If you come here and come to my house, I look through the peephole. we have a gate so I can open the door, but you still not come in, right? I do that. But I'm looking through the peephole like, okay, who are you? I don't know you. For a lot of us, spiritually, that's where we are. We're kind of asking the Lord, hey, Lord, my hope, my prayers on a day that we're not doing that we're not asking the Lord, Lord, can I come in? And he's like, I really don't know you. I really don't have a connection with you. Like, who are you? Why would I let you in my house? Because you really don't know me. You haven't done anything to prepare. Like, you're not doing any of the things that I've told you in my word. We see it there. In Matthew 25, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take extra oil. He's saying, be ready and equipped. What you see here, you kind of see a dichotomy, right, of these two ways to go. There's a foolish way, and there is a wise way, right? The foolish way we see is this. You see people that kind of got, they have their lamp. All these 10 people show up, and all of them have their lamps, but only some of them are smart enough or wise enough to bring along a little bit extra oil, right? So you see these two different looks. Man, why is this oil so important? Why are you talking about oil? What is the significance of that? If you look in the Word in the Bible, oil represents the anointing of God. It's an indicator of his presence, right? So what's it saying? He's saying, look, there are some people, right, who come in, our bodies, our lamps, and we get just a little bit of oil. Maybe come on a Sunday twice a month. I ain't going to talk about nobody, right? Maybe come on a Sunday twice a month. Then, right, and those people, unfortunately, they don't have that much oil. And then you have the wise people. They say, you know what, I need a little bit extra oil. Yeah, I came on Sunday, but, you know, maybe I come up to small group. Maybe I open up my word on a Thursday morning and jump into a devotional, right? Maybe on my way to work, man, I'm getting a little bit more worship on my way to work because I already got to deal with those crazies anyway. I might as well be anointed when I go in there. But man, there's a little bit extra that I'm getting as well. What is he saying? He's saying, man, I want you to continually be in my presence. Continually be in my presence. There's a continual preparation. It's not just one time, but he's saying, you know what? Continue to fill up on some oil, right? You got a little bit of oil. That's great. You came in here and you felt the love of God. You felt the Spirit moving. You got a little bit in there, right? Just enough to get by. But he's saying, man, make sure you get some extra. Don't just rely on just a little bit that you get. Man, you should be getting some extra on your own. Make sure that you're prepared on your own. There should be a preparation that's happening all on your own, that you have extra. Why? Because there's going to come a day when I'm going to come back and I'm going to be ready, and that's not the time to then start getting ready to go, right? It's like if you call, I don't know, everybody's experienced this. Everybody has this. You tell friends, hey, we're going out somewhere. We're going to eat. We're going to a restaurant, right? And they tell you, hey, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes. And that person's like, okay, great. I'll be ready. Everybody experiences this. And then you get there, and they're not ready. And it's like another 15. Anybody have to wait? It's like another 15 minutes. Like, I told you, 8 o'clock. Well, we got reservations. What are you doing, right? And that's what happens to us, right? And so, and we look at the person like, I told you to be ready. I told you what time the reservation was. And, man, you kind of, oh, man, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. And then 5 minutes turns into 10, and 10 turns into 15. But that's how we kind of are with God, right? He's letting us know, hey, I'm coming back. I'm coming to get you. And the way that we live our lives is like, okay, God, right? It's 15 minutes, and you're still kind of watching Netflix, chilling on your couch, right? And God say, hey, I'm coming. Can you start getting ready? And right, and then maybe you already took a shower. Right? In the spirit, we're doing that. It's like we're not preparing ourselves. He's saying, man, don't just get oil, get some extra. Don't just read a little bit of word, read some more. Man, don't just come to church once a month. Maybe you come 3 Sundays out of the month, maybe, right? Man, get a little bit more. I need you to have some extra oil. Why? Because there's going to come a day when he's going to come back and he needs us to be prepared for his return. He needs us to be ready. Luke 12:35 tells us, it's funny, this is a similar parable that Jesus gives, but a different one. And he says here, he's talking about it as well, but he says, we should be dressed for service. When I show up at your house and honk my horn, you should already be dressed. That's not the time that now you want to get in the shower. No, you should be dressed already. Be dressed for service. And what else? And keep your lamp burning. Keep it burning. Don't let it run out. Don't let it be in a place where now you have to go and ask somebody else for some oil. Get some extra. You know why else? Because there's going to be a time where somebody's going to come and they may need some oil from you. There might be somebody that's looking at you like, hey, you have some extra oil. And my hope and my prayer is that now in the time when the Lord has not cracked the sky yet, right, that you are building it up so that even somebody else at the time where we're still preparing, that you're able to give some away. But I'm telling you right now, don't come to me for oil once the Pastor Kevin, can you pray for me right now like Jesus came down to earth? Can you help me out? No, I'm out. Bye. Right? That's not the time. But that's kind of how we approach it. That's what happens to these bridesmaids. They're like, oh, we should have gotten extra oil. Yet, I've been telling you every Sunday, get a little bit extra oil. Don't wait until the last moment. We should be preparing now. Preparing now for the Lord. If we're truly part of it, we recognize that we have some fools in our crew. We have some fools in our family. Oh, hey, it sounds so cruel. It sounds so bad. I'm sorry. Right? We have some fools in our lives, people that are just, they're not ready. And I'm saying as a church, my pastor, it's my job to tell you, get ready. Bishop Jake said, get ready, get ready. Look, be ready. Be ready. Don't just get ready. Be ready. Be consistently ready. Be consistently preparing. Be consistently filling yourself up with the presence of God, engaging with his Holy Spirit. Why? So that when that moment comes, that you'll already be ready to go. That, man, when the Lord comes, and he's going to come, he's returning, that we will be ready. I mean, I want to be ready when he comes. I want to be ready. I want to have a relationship with him that's fulfilling. I want to know him. But here's what can happen is, like, the enemy can kind of fool us. He can kind of trick us into thinking that we really don't need God, that we don't need to have any oil, that we don't need to engage with the Holy Spirit. We have friends that might ask us, man, why are you going to church? Isn't that pointless? Man, why are you going and doing life with these people that you really don't even know like that? You didn't even know them all this time, but, man, you're going there every Wednesday to a small group. Man, you're taking, man, we could be hanging out, or you could be doing something else. But, man, you're going and hanging out with them? And I'm like, yes. They're like, aren't you wasting your time? No. You know why? Because preparation time is never wasted time. Any time that you take to prepare, it's never wasted. You need to have that time. It's never wasted time. And here's the thing. Here's why preparation is so needed, because we need to produce. And God can only produce through you what has been prepared in you. He can't, if there's nothing prepared to go, he can't produce that through you. That's why I'm saying to be prepared. There's a quote by Benjamin Franklin that says this. It says, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. So before you even get started. Now, look, I'm preaching to me, too, because there are some moments where, man, I'm failing to prepare. But I recognize, man, I miss opportunities. There's stuff, man, that God's trying to work out in my life. But because I haven't taken the time to really spend with him, I know I'm preaching just myself today. I know somebody else that has the same testimony. But because I haven't spent time with him, you miss moments that God is trying to work some stuff out in your life. And he's saying, man, come spend some time with me. Come be in my presence. Let me love on you. Let me connect with you. I want to work out in your life. There will be no excuse for us if we fail. There's no excuse for us. There was no excuse for those bridesmaids when the bridegroom came. Like, what's your excuse? That you didn't know? You saw five other people that were getting themselves prepared that got some extra oil. There's no excuse. There's no reason, right? Sometimes it can seem, this particular story can seem kind of cruel. You're like, why couldn't they just share just a little bit? Why couldn't they give just a little bit of theirs to help somebody else? And I kind of feel for them in this story that Jesus gives. I feel like you almost kind of feel bad, like, oh, why, man, they could have helped them out a little bit. But if you think about it, there is a requirement of all of us to be ready, individually on our own. God wants a personal relationship with us. I can't take somebody else's Holy Spirit. I can't take somebody else's time with God. That's not something that I can take. I have to have some for myself. There has to be some time where I spend God for me by myself. I can't go to heaven off my mama's praise. I can't connect with God off what I see my friend who's trying to do right. I can't get into heaven based off what they've done. It has to be for me. I have to know him for myself. I have to have a relationship with him. Here's the thing about it. In this time of preparation, and this is a thing that I really feel like the foolish ones should have done, is that they should have prepared with the ones that were wise. Hear me out. They should have prepared with the ones that were wise. Because then had they looked over and saw, wait, why is she getting a little bit of extra oil? Maybe they would have picked some up for themselves. My hope is that, man, we can kind of look down in our crew and be like, man, I see them coming to small group every week. Maybe I should try that. Man, I see them really, really engaging with the word and trying to read and trying to do something different than what they've done. Man, maybe that's something I should do. Man, they're not going to the same places that they used to go. They're not trying to act the way they used to act. They're trying to really do something different. Maybe I need some of that in my life. My hope for us is that we would kind of approach it that way. And here's why. We don't have to prepare alone. That's why we have a crew, so that I can have somebody that can encourage me. I can have somebody that says, hey, you're running a little bit low on oil. Man, what's going on? And we as a crew should be actively seeking some people out and saying, hey, man, come on. Man, you got to get back with the program. I need you back in here. Man, you were doing so well. Man, come back in. Why? Because at some moment, man, God's going to come back, and I want you to be prepared. I don't want to leave without you. I don't want you to be stuck outside. I can think of some family that I don't want to be lost. And so, man, I need to reach out and connect. Hey, man, look, I know. I get it. The church has done you wrong. I get it. But, man, just give God another chance. Don't worry about you. Give God another chance and let him work that out. There's some friends that I don't want to see lost. Then I'm saying, man, you know what? It's my responsibility. He's called me. He let me in the crew to equip and help somebody else. So it's on me. I have to be the one to reach out. I have to be the one to say, man, look, I can't give you my oil, but I can help you get some of your own. We should be pushing for that. And here's why. Hebrews 10, 23, 25, we read it earlier. So let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But you know what we should do? We should be encouraging one another, especially now that his return is near. Stuff I see in the world right now lets me know that his return is near. It ain't that far away. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. I want y'all to be prepared. I want the people in my life to be prepared. I don't want to come. I don't want to be knocking on the door after he comes back and trying to get it or trying to go and get it or trying to get this relationship. Man, I can be prepared now. Be prepared before that time to be prepared actually comes. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.